To Kill a Ghost, Chapter 2.
In the other episode in this podcast of the Kinder Transport, we heard about Paul, who lived on Springergasse in the 2nd District of Vienna, and who sent a desperate letter in the summer of 1938 to London, hoping to find a way out of Vienna and the Third Reich. My name is Barbara Spitz. I'm standing on Maria Theresienstraße in the 9th District, and here's the apartment house I've been looking for, number 30. This is where Emmerich and Dora lived, and in this podcast, we are not using family names. Emmerich originally came from Hungary, Dora from Poland, and their daughter, Anita, an only child, was born here in Vienna in 1925. Emmerich worked as a dental technician, then as a clerk for a petroleum company. After March 1938, when Austria became part of the Third Reich, he worked for Vienna's Jewish community. Like every other Jew, Emmerich must have been desperate, and here's the form we found in the Vienna Jewish community.
Date of birth, 28th of February 1896. Marital status, married. Citizenship, German, Austrian, in Vienna since 1900, profession, dental technician. Which jobs are you willing to take? Dental technician, waiter, agricultural worker. Languages, German, Hungarian, English. Where are you willing to live? Palestine, North or South America. What plans have you made for living there? Left blank. How will you earn a living? Left blank. Do you have relatives there? Left blank.
We also know Emmerich and Dora must have filled in other forms so that Anita could be taken to safety on one of the Kinder transport. And then the family had to wait. We are lucky enough to have an interview with Anita. Deborah Oppenheimer, who produced the 2004 Academy Award-winning documentary on the Kinder transport, Into the Arms of Strangers, spent a day with Anita in London in 2004. They had tea together in a London hotel. That is when Anita shared not just her stories with Deborah, but letters her parents had written to her and she to them. Here is what Anita said about those first days after the Anschluss, when Austria was subsumed into the Third Reich.
Our neighbor's husband was Jewish. His wife was not. And they lived on the same floor in our apartment building. They had four children, three boys and a girl. Our kitchen windows faced each other. And I would visit them often, and I'd go to their father when I had problems with my homework. He was a very kind man, very quiet. But the pressure on him, like all Jewish men, was enormous. And it was worse because one of his sons was ashamed that they had a Jewish father. To be honest, this son was a little Nazi. I remember that. One day, I came in from school and smelled gas. When our neighbours got home, they realised that their father had committed suicide. Now his children wouldn't have to say there were any Jews in the family. Ugh. They all came into our flat that evening. We sat around the dining room table, my parents, the neighbor's wife, their children. No one said a word.
Although no one knew it then, of the eight people sitting around Anita's parents' table, five would not see the end of the war. By this time, in January of 1938, the Kinder transport were in full swing. Trains filled with Jewish children were leaving from Prague, Berlin, Cologne, and here in Vienna, where the waiting lists were long.
Suddenly, I was told I had 7 days before my train was to leave. It was July 1939. My parents took me around to friends and family so I could say my goodbyes. And my mother and I spent hours sewing labels into my clothes and figuring out what to take. My parents took me to Westbahnhof. It was 16th of July, 1939, at 10 p.m.
We have this ID document on Anita. It has an official stamp from the port of Harwich on the 18th of July, 1939.
This document of identity is issued with the approval of His Majesty's Government in the United Kingdom to young persons to be admitted to the United Kingdom for educational purposes under the care of the Interaid Committee for Children.
Later that night, July the 18th, 1939, Anita arrived at the Hackney Hostel, which was administered by the Jewish organisation B'nai B'rith.
This is the letter Anita's mother Dora sent to her on July the 20th, 1939.
My dear sweet little child, we got your postcard from Harwich as well as a card from London. You can imagine, my golden child, how eagerly we were waiting for your mail. Well, thank God you arrived well. We're thrilled and look forward to the promised letter. I hope that you'll write every detail about everything of interest to us. Are you staying with foster parents or in a home? If in a home, how many children? How was the food? How long will you stay at the home? What are you doing there? Are you far from London? Victoria Park must be charming. Have you met anyone you know? My dear sweet child, I know that I don't have to remind you how to behave in a strange place. If you're with foster parents, the basic behaviour is obliging, ready to help, pleasing in every way. But if you don't feel well, don't be shy and talk to your foster parents. After all, they are taking over for us until we come over. If you are in a home, you have to obey the orders of the supervisor. You have to be well behaved and polite. I can report about us that you don't have to worry. We are quite well. So for today, many hugs and kisses, your mama and puppy. July 24th, 1939. My cutie sweet child, we had expected your dear letter with great longing and finally it arrived today. How I long to hear from you. You have written, dear child, that there are 16 children in your place. Where are the others from? I can imagine that you don't like the English tea. Well, your mother's Viennese coffee certainly tastes better. But that's only during the first few years until you're used to it. Just imagine that if you marry an Englishman, you'll have to keep making him that kind of tea. However, you might acquaint him with Viennese cuisine, for instance, our wonderful plum dumplings. Your mama and Puppy sends his love.
In mid-September 1939, a small group of Jewish refugee girls was sent 100 miles north to a village in Norfolk, where several went to live in a splendid manor house whose owner, a member of the British aristocracy, gave them room and board. She even provided kosher food for them, and the girls settled into life in the countryside as they learned English and studied in school.
My lovable, sweet parents. I'm at school right now. Today Aunt Olga and Uncle Rosner came over. Also had a letter from them telling me that Jack and Grete are in Paris. I feel well, and I hope to hear the same from you. How are all the relatives and friends? Please write postcards. They arrive faster. So write more often. A card with 5 words only costs 5 pennies. Please write me a card like that every day. If possible, I'll write every day too. Otherwise, nothing new. Many millions of regards and kisses from your little daughter, Nitti.
Eight weeks later, on May the 10th, 1940, Nazi Germany invaded the Netherlands, Belgium, and France. Soon, the German army was marching through Paris. Then they were staring across the English Channel, and the Battle of Britain was beginning. And in Austria? By the end of January 1941, Emmerich and Dora were able to get out of Vienna. We know that they made their way south to Zagreb, the Croatian capital of Yugoslavia. We have Emmerich's letter to a relative in New York.
My dear ones, we left with the last train from Vienna. A few hours later, everything was shut down. After a tormenting, difficult journey of more than 4 weeks, we arrived here. Things are terrible. Everyone is hungry. I'm trying hard to find something better for us. Please, do everything possible for us. Best regards and kisses. Emmerich and Dora.
As bad as things were for Anita's parents, they were going to get worse. 1 month later, on the 6th of April 1941, Yugoslavia was invaded and dismembered by Germany, Hungary, Italy, and Bulgaria. For most Jews who had fled to Yugoslavia looking for safety, there was almost no way out. Although some Jews managed to flee to Italy, others joined the communist partisans. In 1942, the manor house in Norfolk was requisitioned by the British Army and the girls returned to London. Anita had returned even before that, and we have this report from the Refugee Committee in Anita's file.
Representative of Refugee Committee, 22nd of June, 1942. Anita is now living in Belgrave Gardens, London. She's found a job as a cashier. She continues to send us letters, hoping to hear from her parents. 22nd of February, 1944. We visited Anita, her house damaged in recent air raid, all windows broken. Girl very nervous and upset. Continues to work as cashier, so very worried about her parents.
of May 1945. The war is over in Europe. People were celebrating. Now families were finding out what had happened to their loved ones. Some were being reunited. The Wiener Library in London has an enormous archive of Holocaust-related testimonies, photographs and documents, and the author, Rosie Whitehouse, found this for us in their files.
2nd of July, 1946. The United Kingdom Search Bureau for German, Austrian and stateless persons from Central Europe. With reference to your inquiry of your parents in Yugoslavia, we are extremely sorry to have to hand you the enclosed Red Cross reply message, bearing the sad news that they were both taken to concentration camps and have not been heard of since.
In digging a bit deeper, we learn that apparently Emmerich and Dora did manage to get away from Zagreb, and they got as far as the nearby town of Karlovac. But that is where they were separated. According to Yad Vashem, Anita's father was murdered in the Jasenovac concentration camp, one that was wholly run by the Croatians, not the Germans. Her mother ended up in Jakovo, a smaller camp for women and children, another Croatian camp. That is where her story ends. And with that letter, Anita knew she would never see her parents again, although surely she sensed the truth long ago. Anita continued her studies. She worked, and in her file from the Jewish Refugee Committee, there is one more entry, an official stamp that reads,
25th of June, 1948. British by naturalisation.
Anita was a British citizen. 18 months later, Paul, the only child of two Viennese Jews murdered in the Holocaust, was now going to share his life with Anita, also an only child of two Viennese Jews murdered in the Holocaust. And the wedding would take place in the synagogue in St. John's Wood in Abbey Road, London.